So do not miss out. New date, new time, but same great show. We hope you'll tune in to the Houston Hour, only on 90.1 KPFT.
90.1 KPFT FM HD2 Houston. KPFT.
Today on the People's News, women and supporters are upset and marching for change. Lone Star Legal Aid on quality health care. Human trafficking victims get help. It's Manufacturing Day in Houston. 9/11, the families still need answers. And it's Pledge Drive. We continue to feature music from A Tribe Called Red. I'm Steve Gallington. This is the People's News, and the People's News starts now. It is Pledge Drive, and we need your support. You, the supporters of KPFT, have been asking for local news, and that's just what they get in the People's News. Since we started over 4 years ago, we have brought you news and information not heard on other stations. We take more time to do interviews and news with people by giving them more time to explain their position. This is a two-person operation, and we work hard to bring you the news every week. So, in this time, when truth is desperately needed, please donate to this show. You can help keep the station and the news on the air. Go to kpft.org and press the Donate Now button. And remember, at the very top of the page, it says, what program are you supporting? Click on that and scroll down and select the People's News. Hi, this is Steve Gallington of the People's News here on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. But what is the People's News? Just as KPFT is commercial-free, people-powered radio, the People's News is people-powered news. We are not owned by corporations nor dependent on business for funding. We are free to report the unvarnished and unspun truth, and we have time and focus to drill into stories that impact you the most. If there is something going on in your neighborhood that the world needs to know about, bring it to us. We accept fully produced audio, written material, guest interview topics, or even ideas for stories. Call me at 832-754-4128 or email us at richrad9@gmail.com. That's richrad9, all put together, at gmail.com. And let's get started. The People's News airs every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. on our HD2 channel and every Friday evening at 8 p.m. on KPFT's HD1 channel, also known as FM. This past Saturday, there were thunderstorms that raged through the city of Houston. Close to 10,000 women and their supporters marched through the rain downtown to City Hall in what is called the Women's March. Speakers and supporters spoke on abortion rights and voting rights being lost in the state. We talked to numerous people at the march.
Okay, what's your name?
Margie Schnell.
What brings you down here on a rainy
day? Well, I'm very lucky. I live downtown, so that helped. But my daughter-in-law drove from Galveston to join me, and we're representing our daughters and my granddaughters. So I have four granddaughters. So we just want to stand in unity to encourage our lawmakers to back off and to give women choice. And if not, then to get rid of the governor and the legislators who are voting for things like SBC. I mean, just ridiculous that they are going backwards in women's rights and human rights as well.
The governor says he's been, he's protecting women.
He what?
He says he's protecting women.
Oh, yes. Well, he's a liar. No, he's misguided. And you know, it's part of the old patriarchy. He's trying to keep that going. And we're capable of making our own choices. And he should just stay out of this issue.
Hey, it's Richard here with KPFT 90.1 FM Radio, and I'm talking to a gentleman right now that's at the Women's March. What brings you here?
I'm here to fight for women's rights, to a safe and legal abortion, especially black women and trans men.
One of the issues the governor thinks is important is the trans issue, and transgenders in sports.
Oh. I think one of the issues that they brought up was that they believe that trans... I think the trans issue in sports and schools has no place. They should, trans children should be allowed to play any sport that they want to. Hormones take care of different types of, you know, issues that would arise with, you know, with having strength or any of that stuff, you know.
And the whole issue, it's not just abortion, it's Medicare and all this that's dealing with it, that the governor seems to be trying to address.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
The governor thinks he's helping women. That's his thoughts.
No, the governor is taking rights away from women. Black women especially are 3 times more likely to die from childbirth. Forcing them to have children would be forcing them to their death.
What brings you here to the women's club?
We are with Houston Democratic Social of America, and so we're here to show solidarity with everyone who is under oppression of this law, SB 8. This is part of our struggle as well, is that, you know, the struggle against women from reactionary forces in the state of Texas is what we're fighting against. So that's why we're out here today.
Educate our listeners on things that you feel are important.
So for us, with Democratic Social America, we believe that we are under attack here and under capitalism. So we believe that we need to build a mass struggle, mass movement. We need to bring as many people into a mass movement. We can't win by simply voting for individuals.
It's fund drive time at KPFT. Call us and donate what you can. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We love the people's news.
And just leaving it at that, we have to build mass movement. That's how any struggle gets done. That's how emancipation got won. That's how the struggle for civil rights, that's how the struggle for labor rights. It all has to be done in a mass struggle. So we're building like a coalition of people. We're building a mass movement across this country. And we want to overturn not simply this law, but the entire governmental structures to keep people down. So that's what we're all about, is like building up a true like democracy of workers and a working class struggle so that we can, you know, have a better society.
All right, thanks a lot. Who am I talking to?
My name is Amber.
Hey, what brings you to the Women's March?
I'm here because I believe that every woman should have the right to choose. And I feel like women are smart, intelligent beings, that they can make the right decision for them, for their body, for their situation, with their doctor, and they can make educated decisions, and it shouldn't be up to lawmakers to make that decision for them.
The governor thinks that he's saving women.
It's the opposite. All he's doing is he is forcing women and women of color, women who are underprivileged, to not be able to get the access to the health care that they need. He doesn't know the situation. He doesn't know if they can't afford children. He doesn't know if they were sexually assaulted. He doesn't know if they were incest. And these women, they can't travel to Oklahoma and to Louisiana or to Colorado to get these abortions. This isn't going to affect wealthy women, but this is going to affect women of color and women who are below the poverty line.
Hey, who am I talking to?
Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer, what brings you downtown to the Women's March in this rainy day?
I'm trying to make sure my daughter has the right to choice.
What does the governor in Texas think that he's helping women?
No, not at all. Our governor, he has no idea what he's doing.
It seems like things like Medicare for women and poor women are the ones affected by this.
Oh, absolutely. And we need more health care for women and more Medicaid and more free health care.
And not to talk about the governor, but it seems like when we talked to him, he said he helps women, and how is her family affected by the rules?
I just want my daughter to be able to have the right to make her own choice, and that's what I see it most affecting in my family right now, is our future.
Those were the voices of people that attended last week's Women's March in Houston. It's Fund Drive time at KPFT. Call us and donate what you can. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We love the people's news.
On Wednesday, Federal District Court Judge Robert Pittman issued a sweeping order blocking the Texas Heartbeat Act from being enforced. At the request of the Biden administration, Judge Pittman issued an injunction preventing Texas judges and court clerks from processing and deciding cases in which citizens bring lawsuits against abortion providers or against individuals or organizations who help fund or promote abortion. Considering SB 8, a bill that went into effect September 1, 2021, the injunction accurately diagnosed the bill for what it is, an unprecedented and aggressive scheme to deprive its citizens of a significant and well-established constitutional right. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton appealed this decision. However, Judge Pittman denied the request to put the injunction on hold while the appeal is being considered. So, the injunction is in force. It's Fund Drive time at KPFT. Call us and donate what you can. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We love the people's news.
With all the things that are happening in the world today, sometimes you really want to escape. KPFT provides sanity with great variety of music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It is available online at kpft.org, where you can also become a sustaining member today. It's safe, secure, and easy to do. For all the times you want to get away, for all the times you want to smile and enjoy the people's news, or music styles from Pahanga to jazz to soul and more, let the next sound be your phone call at 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-5738. And tell them that the People's News sent you. Thank you so much. It's Fund Drive time at KPFT. Call us and donate what you can. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We love the People's News.
Over the last 10 years, the voters of color in a steadily diversifying Tarrant County have seen their political clout grow. In 2014, Ramon Romero was elected the county's first Latino state representative. Last December, Mansfield voters elected Michael Evans as the first black mayor in their city's 130-year history. And in November, Tarrant voters went for Joe Biden over Donald Trump, cementing a major political shift that started when the district chose Beto O'Rourke over Ted Cruz 2 years earlier. In Senate District 10, which is nestled entirely inside of Tarrant and makes up about half the county's population, the district's growing Asian, Black, and Hispanic populations regularly band together to pick Democratic candidates, including former State Senator Wendy Davis in 2012 and the current incumbent, Senator Beverly Powell, in 2018. But as lawmakers charge ahead with redrawing district lines, those voters of color could see their voting rights strength diluted in the Texas Capitol. The proposed Senate map drafted by Republicans took aim at the district, splitting it up and pairing its voters with those in counties to the south and west made the district much wider, more rural, and more likely to vote for the GOP. Senate District 10 is currently 413 square miles, all inside Tarrant County, where there is a growing Asian, Black, and Hispanic population. Lawmakers propose expanding the district to 6,233 square miles, including 8 rural counties with more white eligible voters. It's Fund Drive time at KPFT. Call us and donate what you can. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We love the People's News.
Natalie Cochran, Elizabeth Green, and Kristen Panetta from Lone Star Legal Aid met to discuss why healthy children are better prepared to succeed in school and how you can get your children enrolled for CHIP or Medicaid with their free legal services.
Hello, my name is Christian Pineda. I am the project coordinator for the Connecting Kids to Coverage team at Lone Star Legal Aid. I'm responsible for coordinating the team's efforts in regards to scheduling outreaches, facilitating the access of our services, and making connections with community organizations to reach our families in need.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about our purpose behind our team. Our Connecting Kids to Coverage initiative, its purpose is to ensure that children have a holistically healthy life and development. In order to do that, they must have access to health care. So our unit seeks and targets eligible families to assist them in applying, enrolling them in Medicaid and CHIP benefits, and many times SNAP nutritional benefits. Healthy students are better learners. With medical coverage such as CHIP and Medicaid, students are more likely to attend school and earn higher grades. Many children, including the millions of uninsured in Texas, have difficulty accessing quality health care. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, poor nutrition, lack of physical activity, and an overall unhealthy lifestyle can lead to poor academic achievement in children. Many studies have shown that healthy children get better grades, attend school more often, and behave better in class.
With the children in our area already headed back to school, medical coverage will help parents rest easy knowing that their children can get routine preventative care that keeps them healthy and the medical help they need if they get sick or injured. Here is a short list of services that are covered by the Medicaid and CHIP programs. Dentist visits, which include cleanings and fillings, eye exams and glasses, choice of their own doctors with regards to checkups and office visits, prescription drugs and vaccines, access to medical specialists and mental health care, hospital care services, medical supplies, including x-rays and lab tests, treatment of special health care needs, and treatment of pre-existing conditions. Specifically, Lone Star Legal Aid's Connecting Kids to Coverage team assists low-income families with applying for medical coverage for their kids. We can help your children apply for Children's Medicaid, as well as the Children's Health Insurance Program, also known as CHIP.
Lone Star Legal Aid has a decades-long history of public benefits outreach and advocacy. The Connecting Texas Kids to Coverage Unit's principal purpose is to help children have healthy futures by identifying and enrolling children in Medicaid and CHIP and helping them maintain coverage through renewal and retention efforts.
If you or someone you know needs assistance, you can apply for free legal services by calling us directly at 713-652-0077, extension 8103, emailing our team at healthcareforkids@lonestarlegal.org, or by visiting our website at www.lonestarlegal.org.
Those in need of assistance can apply by visiting lonestarlegal.org or by calling 1-800-733-8394. It's fund drive time at KPFT. Call us and donate what you can. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We love the People's News.
On KPFT, the People's News, we have brought you stories and people from around the world. When the situation in Lebanon kicked off, we called to talk to our former KPFT producer, Jackson Aller, to see what was really going on. When the Syrian government was in the midst of destroying the Yazidi people, we talked to a professor on the ground helping out. We are one of the few stations talking about issues on the continent of Africa. We went and talked to local Haitians about giving back and what's going on there. We say this to gain your support for the station and this show. 713-526-5738. To support independent news and radio. You also can go to kpft.org, press on the Donate Now button, and make sure you select the People's News from the list of programs that you're supporting. It's Fund Drive time at KPFT. Call us and donate what you can. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We love the People's News.
Karen Kraser and Lindsay Foster are two friends familiar with the hallways of the Texas Capitol. During this year's regular legislative session and two subsequent special sessions that followed, the two mothers have shown up with a handful of other parents to advocate for their children who have been caught in the crosshairs of a slew of bills that target young transgender Texans. Now, with the legislature's third special session underway, the two friends are enduring another round of visits and demonstrations as legislatures again debate a top Republican legislative priority, restricting transgender youth from playing on sports teams that are consistent with their gender identity. It just keeps on happening. It's ridiculous. Kraser, a mother of a 9-year-old, said about the amount of bills filed during sessions that have targeted LGBTQ Texans. This is the fourth round this year. Why are we still having to do this? So far, the Texas Senate has passed a bill limiting transgender participation in youth sports four separate times. The first three times, the bill stalled out and failed. Last week, Senate Bill 3, authored by Lubbock Republican State Senator Charles Perry, was approved by a 19-12 Senate vote, with all but one Democrat voting no. It's Fund Drive time at KPFT. Call us and donate what you can. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We love the People's News.
Legislation passed in June went into effect in September in Texas. One of those bills directs the state's Health and Human Services Commission to administer funds for emergency shelters and treatment programs to address the problem of human trafficking among youth. Comments from Sandy Hennep, Executive Director, Unbound North Texas. We hear more from Roz Brown in the Texas News Service.
Countless children who are victims of human trafficking are getting help through a new grant program in Texas. A bill passed by the Texas legislature and signed by Governor Greg Abbott is allowing the Texas Health and Human Services Commission to administer funds to help address the high need for emergency shelters and treatment programs. Unbound North Texas Executive Director Sandy Hennep says the state ranks second in the U.S. for the most cases of human trafficking, with most young people enticed via social media.
A lot of how young men and women get pulled into trafficking is what they would call like a grooming process, where they kind of get lured in, and then even though they're physically free to leave, emotionally, socially, psychologically, they're bound.
A 2016 report by the University of Texas at Austin found about 80,000 young people were identified among the more than 300,000 sex and labor trafficking victims in the state. Hennep says the common profile among trafficked youth includes developmental trauma, abuse, and neglect. Until recently, she notes the Dallas-Fort Worth area has been without a 24/7 drop-in shelter to support at-risk youth.
And we know that youth that are homeless, runaway, they're at a heightened vulnerability to being trafficked. And so we just opened our youth drop-in center in Tarrant County this last October.
Unbound North Texas hosts an outreach event called Not in My City in Dallas this Saturday, October 9th. Hennep says the average American may not know how much child trafficking goes on in Texas or other parts of the U.S. because movies often depict it as an international problem.
What we see here is much more domestic trafficking. So there's easy access and flow of people, if you will, which sounds awful, but in trafficking, people are commodities.
In addition to shelters, the new state grant program will help provide mental and behavioral health services, immediate trauma support, medical care and referrals, and legal advocacy. For Texas News Service, I'm Roz Brown. Find our 8 trust indicators to support accuracy and transparency online at publicnewsservice.org.
It's fund drive time at KPFT. Call us and donate what you can. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We love the people's news.
Friday was the first annual Manufacturers Day in Houston. Thousands of kids listened to speakers, hands-on workshops, and different employers from around the area. The leading sponsor and organizer for Manufacturing Day Houston is the Hot House Foundation for Kids, HFFK. We talked to them about what Manufacturing Day was all about.
I'm Michael Holthouse with the Holthouse Foundation for Kids, and I'm the chairman of Manufacture Day Houston. Now, Manufacturing Day has been going on across America for a number of years, but for whatever reason, we've never done it in Houston. But with as much interest as we're seeing of manufacturers coming into Houston, it is time for us to start waking up and helping the youth of our great city find these really great, skilled, high-paying jobs. So that's what today is all about, helping them understand what manufacturing is about.
How many kids do you have today?
Because of the pandemic, the COVID, an awful lot of schools have totally shut down doing any kind of field trips. So today we have 300 kids from 15 different districts and schools around the city of Houston, and we view this really as a trial run for next year. Next year, we intend to take over the George R. Brown and have 20,000 kids all learning and interacting. So this is a great success, and we're learning a lot, but this is just the first annual.
You know, the school used to have like wood shop and auto mechanics and that type of stuff in the school. We don't have that anymore. Is this a kind of a...
Now you're showing your age. Yes, we used to have shop. And in shop, we had drill presses and lathes and circular saws. Today's equipment is very different. It's plasma cutters and laser cutters and additive manufacturing. And the machines are driven largely by computers, which require programmers to program the robotics and that equipment in order to manufacture the individual parts. Manufacturing today is not like it used to be. where you've got one person that puts on one part and it goes down and the next person, the next. This is advanced electronics and equipment, and it requires a whole different kind of skill set to be able to make that come true. So these makerspaces, which are popping up all over Houston and across the country, are places where you can bring all of this equipment together and teach the next generation how do you make and invent your own stuff. It's cool.
It's Fun Drive time at KPFT. Call us and donate what you can. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We love the People's News.
Well, I mean, I saw a study that a lot of kids now are being entrepreneurs, going out and doing their own.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. One of the programs that I started 10 years ago is an organization called Lemonade Day, which teaches kids how to start their own business using a lemonade stand. And to your point, Lemonade Day is now in 85 cities across the country and 14 countries outside of the U.S. because entrepreneurship is a great thing. These manufacturers and innovators are entrepreneurs. But to bring your product to market, somebody has to make it. So they have to be manufacturers too. And that's the great upside for us here in America, is instead of taking all of the things that we invent by these entrepreneurs and saying, China, will you produce this? Let's build the capability to make it here. Let's keep the jobs here. And it's all upside, since the intellectual property started from here to begin with.
It sounds like what the president, U.S. president, is talking about when he talks about the infrastructure.
We have lots of challenges as a country, and one of them is, how do we repatriate American businesses back domestically? We're going to figure out how to do it. It's blocking and tackling. But every time a manufacturer makes a choice to come to Houston, it's not like they just open up the next day. You know, the first thing you do is you got to get a building, whether you make one or create it, and then you got to do the construction to get it in place. You got to get all of the equipment that we're going to do. We got to get the supply lines for all the materials. So it's 3 to 4 years before all of the employees come in to actually operate that plant. And we're well on our way, and there's lots more jobs coming, which is why this event is so important. We're trying to help America's youth really understand that manufacturing is a whole different animal these days. And it is fun and exciting and some really interesting things to do, as well as one heck of a living wage on the other side. Now, college is great, but technical school is great.
Igloo Coolers has been around for years, and their new factory in Katy has hired lots of locals.
Well, my name is Max Cold. I'm with Igloo Coolers, and we make coolers, lunch coolers, work coolers, water jugs, etc., right out there in Katy, Texas.
You guys are at Manufacturing Day. How's it going for you guys and the kids?
It's amazing. Manufacturing is amazing. Our business is growing. And like Jim McAvey said this morning, to compete with the international market, we've got to do it smarter and better than the world, and we need young talent to help us do that. We can do it with being smart.
You're in Houston, and how is that going for you guys?
It's awesome. It's a great labor pool. The feedstock of plastic, you know, which is the base of our product, is right here in the Houston area. So centrally, it's a great location for labor and manufacturing and feedstock.
And Igloo Coolers has been around for years. People know it.
Yeah. Next year will be our 75th anniversary, right? We've been bound a long time. We are the number one cooler company in the world by far. There's other brands, but we're number one.
We also got to talk to others in attendance about Manufacturing Day.
Hi, my name is Sam Stein. I'm with Triple S Steel Supply.
All right, you're at Manufacturing Day. How's that going for you?
Oh, it's been a great turnout so far. We've seen a lot of kids get very interested in our business, and you know, we want to, you know, take part in. We want to be involved in Houston's future of in the manufacturing business.
The steel industry. The steel industry is a really tough business. You're competing with Canada. You're competing with all around the world. How tough is it being here in Houston?
Houston's one of the most competitive steel markets in the country because we've got the Port of Houston. It's easy to bring in. Well, this year it hasn't been easy, but you can. Lots of foreign countries like to sell steel in the U.S., and they come into the Port of Houston. And you have a lot of big distributors like us in town competing for the same customers.
And the job market for the steel industry, I know the steel industry on the East Coast got a hit. And how's the job market here?
The job market has been, it's been on fire. We're trying to hire as many people as we can, especially in trucking. It's been so hard to hire people just because everyone's hiring. And it's not just the steel business, it's all across Houston. A lot of blue collar jobs have transferable skill sets, someone who wants to work in the steel business, every steel company in town is hiring.
How was that different from in the past? You know, people work in the steel industry, they stayed at that job all their life. How has it changed? Because now they have to be versatile.
So that's something that I think is a generational change. My parents' generation grew up, you got a job and you made that job your career. And I think, a lot of my current generation they get a job, they get settled in, and then they start looking for the next big new opportunity. And so we want to be the kind of company where you don't have to look for the next opportunity. You can build your career with our company.
Hey, tell our listeners who am I talking to.
I'm Jay Danella.
Hi, Gretchen Lawler.
It's Robert.
You want my last name?
He doesn't care. Wayne Mossback.
Cool. Tell our listening audience who you are and what you guys represent.
It's Fund Drive time at KPFT. Call us and donate what you can. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We love the people's news.
Well, I'm with a company called Variable. We represent on-demand labor. Connecting manufacturers with workers. So that's why we're here, because a lot of the schools are educating skilled labor. Manufacturers need skilled labor. We kind of bring the two together. So that's, and I'm on the board of the Houston Manufacturers Association. I'm over membership.
How hard is it getting the kids, getting the youth involved in manufacturing?
In Houston, we have almost 20,000 operators with our company that are signed up to work for manufacturers in the Houston marketplace. So the labor is out there and available. A lot of people just aren't necessarily looking for full-time jobs. They're looking for, especially the younger skilled workers, they're looking for kind of the gig economy stuff. There's our president.
There's our Marcus.
Yeah. Hey, president.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah. I'm talking to the president. What's your name?
Marcus Wilkins.
All right, cool. How hard is it now? You said the kids, getting the kids involved. How are the manufacturers you're working with? What type of jobs are we talking about?
Oh, all kinds of jobs. I mean, anything from welding to warehousing to any of the skilled type positions, the CNC machinists, technicians.
So you got engineering type. You got
people that are operating, and of course you have people that have to fix it because all this technology works until it doesn't.
I'm trying to educate the kids about is you can get an education to get in this career for a lot less than a 4-year college. I mean, and come out without debt and get a high paying skilled position right away. I mean, it's a great career path that most kids aren't aware of these days.
Now, I was told I was aging myself earlier, because when I was in school, we had auto shop. We had welding.
We had
all these manufacturing skill type of jobs that you learned, these trades that you learned in school. How hard is it trying to get kids now because they're not getting
well, they are. A lot of schools are bringing back this, they call it STEAM training now. It was STEM, but they've added arts, I guess. But, you know, a lot of companies or a lot of schools are adding very large skill training divisions again.
They're bringing it back. We're back to the future. They're actually building what they call CTE centers, which is career technical education, where they're getting back. They took all the machine shops and the machining hands-on stuff out of the schools, and now they're saying it's like cursive writing. You know, they're going back to having cursive writing now because they say it helps hand-eye coordination and the thought process. So some of the things we've learned that, you know, we're going back but with enhancement. Like you did welding. Now you're getting into robotics, but you still need to know welding. So, yeah, welding with coding. In fact, I have a one of our members has his own robotic thing, and he says he was a coding geek that welds.
This was the first year for Manufacturing Day, and organizers look to do it again next year. This year it was held at TXRX Labs on the east side of Houston. TXRX Labs is a 501c3 nonprofit innovation, education, and collaboration hub serving the creative community of Houston, Texas. It's Fun Drive time at KPFT. Call us and donate what you can. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We love the people's news.
9/11 was last month, but there are still unanswered questions haunting the families of those who suffered through the tragedy. Ray McGinnis just finished a book about what the family members that attended the 9/11 Congressional Commission asked but did not get answered. We talked to him about what happened in the session.
Say that again? Tell a listening audience about the book. Okay. And what was learned.
Okay. So, Unanswered Questions is a book about the historic efforts of many families who, after the attacks of September 11th and after their funerals were over, began to lobby Congress and Senate and the White House to have an investigation to learn whatever the lessons were about how come the nation wasn't prepared, and to make the nation safer. And there were dozens of different families of victims who formed different groups in the fall, winter, and spring of 2001, 2002. And there was an umbrella group that formed by the spring, summer of 2002 called the Family Steering Committee, with a dozen people on that committee representing these many victims, family members, groups. And they, Kristen Breitweiser testified to the joint 9/11 inquiry of the Senate and Congressional Intelligence Committees in September 2002, and that was a catalyst for convincing the Bush administration to have an investigation. And so the book that I've written about is about the shift from grief to advocacy on the part of the families, some of the mainstream news articles that they read to do their homework in order to present questions for the 9/11 Commission to do their investigation, the hundreds of questions that the families presented to the commissioners at the beginning of the investigation before the first public hearing in late March 2003 were received by the commissioners before the press as, quote, a roadmap for how to do the inquiry. And, of the 12 people who who were on the committee, five have told the press how they voted in the year 2000, and three of the five voted for the Bush-Cheney ticket. So this was definitely a group of people who had one thing in common. They all lost a loved one on September 11th, but they were variously registered independents, Republicans, Democrats, and they just wanted to have, you know, the government find out whether they could find out so that nobody else would have to do what, you know, would ever have to walk in their shoes, as Kristen Breitweiser said, whose husband, Ron, died in the South Tower. And so my book is looking at the efforts of the families, the obstacles they ran into, their monitoring of the 9/11 Commission for over 20 months, and the discussions that they had. You know, they were there with the commissioners face-to-face, talking to staff teams, issuing press releases, issuing report cards to the 9/11 Commission, to the press, to sort of keep it on track. And it's an interesting story. And I think it's a story which the 9/11 Commission co-chairs, Tom Keene and Lee Hamilton, wrote in their memoir, Without Precedent. And they said that this effort by the 9/11 families was one of the most commendable and important efforts of grassroots citizen advocacy in many decades. And I think that it's a story that most people don't know. I have cousins in California and Maryland, and I was telling about the book I was writing, and they, although they watch variously MSNBC or CNN or Fox News, they didn't know anything about the families pressing for an investigation. All they knew was the obituaries they'd read and the names that are recited on the memorial anniversaries. So I think it's, you know, I was curious because I happened to come upon a book in 2007 when I was looking for a new book to read in the middle of a writing workshop tour, and it happened to be Kristen Breitweiser's memoir called Wake Up Call, The Political Education of a 9/11 Widow. And I was surprised that I could go 6 years after the attacks and not have any idea that the families were involved in this aspect of trying to make their nation safe. So I sat on, you know, I kind of read her book, and I read a number of articles, went to the Family Steering Committee's website, but finally decided around 2015 or 16 that I probably should write a book, because so many people that I spoke with occasionally just didn't have any idea that this had ever happened. So I thought, for the record, it's important, and it's also a commendable story. And even though the families on the Family Steering Committee themselves are not on the same page regarding what they think about the 9/11 Commission report, some are very happy, satisfied with the official account. Others think that there's some sort of cover-up, Saudi Arabia or something, someone, a new investigation. But I just show those different voices in my book and leave it to the readers to just reflect on what this story tells them.
It's Fund Drive time at KPFT. Call us and donate what you can. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We love the people's news.
Does it talk at all about the Saudi relationship with the Saudi government's involvement with 9/11?
I do mention that, and it's one of these curious things that is part of you know, there are well, I think thousands of families who've signed petitions to have a new and you know, new investigation regarding specifically the possible complicity of Saudi Arabia in the attacks. And you have the spectacle of former Trump Attorney General William Barr going before a judge in April of 2020, insisting that documents cannot be put on the public record, that it would breach state secrets and it would harm national security. And for the families, they're just saying, well, how would we as September 11 families trying to get justice and some peace regarding this aspect of the story, How would our perhaps winning a lawsuit against Saudi Arabia harm American national security? They just don't get it. So it's one of these, you know, questions that just, I mean, for most of us, if we didn't lose a loved one on September 11th, we might just think, well, that's strange or odd, and we carry on with our lives. But if we get up every day and there's one less person sitting at the meal table to remind us of our loss, for these families, these questions remain.
What do you think is learned? Have we learned from 9/11?
Well, I think, I mean, the story of the families is a story of, you know, I mean, Mindy Kleinberg talks about how she, whose husband Alan died in the North Tower, said we were always hopeful that the government would answer our questions. And what seems to have happened instead was that there were other political considerations. And, you know, the executive director, Philip Zelko, who really ran the investigation, was having some, you know, numbers of phone calls with the senior White House counsel, Karl Rove. And it seemed that, you know, the family steering committee members asked that Philip Zelko resign because of conflicts of interest. And it seemed that there was some interest in the running of the investigation to make sure that whatever the published report said, that it would not embarrass or damage the sitting president's reelection chances. And so for the families, they just felt that the government needed to do better, that they just needed to follow the evidence wherever it went, and so that they can make the nation safe. So I think it's a cautionary tale about how even with something as important, I mean, we're all living in a post 9/11 world in America and around the whole world, and yet still political considerations, partisan politics, end up becoming a factor that hamper a proper investigation. So I think that. That's part of what comes out in my book is that that's still it's a disappointment. I mean, Lori Van Auken, whose husband Kenneth died in the North Tower, and Kristen Breitweiser said to a reporter in Vermont in 2009 that they felt they were still suffering from what they called PTBS, which was post-traumatic betrayal syndrome. So they're not satisfied with the way that things were run and feel that they lived it. Like they went through the whole 9/11 commission every day. And, you know, early on, there was an example of this. Early on, there were several people who were testifying on the first and second day of public hearings. And it was all about the Iraq War and all about, you know, Dr. Lori Milroy. Was saying that Saddam Hussein of Iraq had been responsible for the Oklahoma City bombing and the attacks on September 11th. And numbers of the family said, you know, here we are with the 9/11 Commission isn't looking at a possible Saudi Arabian connection at all, but is trying to, in Lori Van Auken's words, offer a sales pitch for the Iraq War, which at that point was just 10 days old. So it just seems that politics, you know, gets involved in this kind of thing once again.
Ray McGinnis's book is called Unanswered Questions, What the September 11th Families Asked and What the 9/11 Commission Ignored. It is available in your local bookstore and online. It's Fun Drive time at KPFT. Call us and donate what you can. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We love the people's news.
In women's soccer, the Houston Dash defeated the Portland Thorns by a final score of 3-2 on Wednesday night at Providence Park. The win marks the first win for the Dash in Portland since May 23, 2015, and it moved the Dash above the playoff line and into fourth place in the league table with four matches remaining. This is the first game for both teams since the National Women's Soccer League postponed five games over the weekend due to the gravity of the events that transpired in the league over the last week. In a sign of solidarity, both teams halted the game at the sixth minute, and players came together to form a circle at midfield for a moment of silence. Last week, after an article in The Athletic stating players were being abused by their coaches and ridiculed and nothing was done about it, the teams decided to boycott play until something is done about conditions and abuse those players are under. We will talk more of this in the coming weeks on the People's News. It's Fun Drive time at KPFT. Call us and donate what you can. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We love the People's News.
The People's News and KPFT is one of the only stations in the area to cover the women's professional team, the Houston Dash. We have also covered adaptive sports with Hannah Walker at the West Gray Multi-Service Center. With that, we continue to cover sports and news that are not covered by the mainstream. We were the first to cover Major League Soccer in Houston. Please show your support for what we do here. Go to kpft.org, push the Donate Now button, and select the People's News from the drop-down list and give what you can. Or you can call 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-5738. And make sure you tell them the People's News sent you. Hi, this is Steve Gallington of the People's News here on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. But what is the People's News? Just as KPFT is commercial-free, people-powered radio, the People's News is people-powered news. We are not owned by corporations nor dependent on business for funding. We are free to report the unvarnished and unspun truth, and we have time and focus to drill into stories that impact you the most. If there is something going on in your neighborhood that the world needs to know about, bring it to us. We accept fully produced audio, written material, guest interview topics, or even ideas for stories. Call me at 832-754-4128 or email us at richrad9@gmail.com. That's richrad9, all put together, at gmail.com. And let's get started. The People's News airs every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. on our HD2 channel and every Friday evening at 8 p.m. on KPFT's HD1 channel, also known as FM. It's Fun Drive time at KPFT. Call us and donate what you can. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We love the People's News.
Students in Texas public schools are facing another year upturn by COVID-19. As the highly contagious Delta variant spreads, mask mandates are inconsistent, and children under 12 cannot yet be vaccinated against the virus. 2 months into this school year, the number of reported coronavirus cases among students has surpassed the total from the entire 2020-2021 school year. Schools are prohibited from taking precautions such as wearing masks, though some are fighting the governor's order banning mask mandates. Far more students are on campus since most districts do not have a remote learning option. It's Fun Drive time at KPFT. Call us and donate what you can. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We love the People's News.
Michelle Carew would seem like an unlikely target of Donald Trump loyalists who have fixated their fury on the notion that the 2020 election was stolen from the former president. The nonpartisan elections administrator in staunchly Republican Hood County, just an hour southwest of Fort Worth, oversaw an election in which Trump got some 81% of the vote. It was among the former president's larger margins of victory in Texas, which also went for him. Yet over the past 10 months, Carew's work has come under persistent attack from hardline Republicans. They allege disloyalty and liberal bias at the root of her actions. From the time she denied a reporter with a fervently pro-Trump network One America News entrance to a training that was not open to the public, to accusations disputed by the Texas Secretary of State's office that she is violating state law by using electronic machines randomly number ballots. Viewing her decisions as a litmus test of her loyalty to the Republican Party, they have demanded that Carew be fired or her position abolished and her duties transferred to an elected county clerk who has used social media to promote baseless allegations of widespread election fraud. Republican politicians and conspiracy theorists continue to cast doubt on the election process across the country, particularly in areas where President Joe Biden won. They have demanded audits in states like Arizona, where the results of the Republican-led review in Maricopa County confirmed Biden's victory. They have also moved to restrict voting in multiple states, including Texas, which passed sweeping legislation which has already drawn lawsuits alleging the disenfranchisement of vulnerable voters. Last week, Trump issued a public letter demanding an audit in Texas, Hours later, the Texas Secretary of State's office announced that they had begun a comprehensive forensic audit in four of the state's largest counties, Dallas, Harris, Tarrant, and Collin. Biden won three of the four. But Hood County stands out nationally and within Texas because it offers a rare view into the virulent distrust and unyielding political pressure facing elections administrators, even in communities that Trump safely won. The county also represents an escalation of a wider push to replace independent administrators with more actively partisan election officials. It's Fund Drive time at KPFT. Call us and donate what you can. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738.
We love the people's news.
It is Pledge Drive, and we need your support. You, the supporters of KPFT, have been asking for local news, and that's just what they get in the people's news. Since we started over 4 years ago, we have brought you news and information not heard on other stations. We take more time to do interviews and news with people by giving them more time to explain their position. This is a two-person operation, and we work hard to bring you the news every week. So, in this time, when truth is desperately needed, please donate to this show. You can help keep the station and the news on the air. Go to kpft.org and push the Donate Now button. And remember, at the very top of the page, it says, what program are you supporting? Click on that and scroll down and select The People's News. The People's News is a production of KPFT 90.1 FM Houston and is protected by copyright laws. Contributors' content is used with their permission and remains their intellectual property. All the information broadcast on air and online, as well as published both in print and or online, including articles, audio clips, illustrations, graphics, photographs, and videos, are protected by these copyright and other state and federal intellectual property laws. Therefore, you may not use our content in any prohibited way, including reproducing, publishing, transmitting, selling, rewriting, broadcasting, or posting on the internet without the expressed written permission of the People's News. Prohibited use also includes publication of our material in printed or electronic brochures, in newsletters or flyers, as well as all website or email distribution. Thank you. Hi, this is Steve Gallington of the People's News here on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. But what is the People's News? Just as KPFT is commercial-free, people-powered radio, the People's News is people-powered news. We are not owned by corporations nor dependent on business for funding. We are free to report the unvarnished and unspun truth, and we have time and focus to drill into stories that impact you the most. If there is something going on in your neighborhood that the world needs to know about, bring it to us. We accept fully produced audio, written material, guest interview topics, or even ideas for stories. Call me at 832-754-4128 or email us at richrad9@gmail.com. That's richrad9, all put together, at gmail.com. And let's get started. The People's News airs every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. on our HD2 channel and every Friday evening at 8 p.m. on KPFT's HD1 channel, also known as FM.
Hey y'all, this is Susan, your host of Border Radio on Houston's community station, KPFT. Border Radio is on the move. Join us on our new day and time, Saturday evenings from 6 to 8, right after Deadbeat. We'll feature some of your favorite independent artists and songs from new artists on the rise. We'll spotlight concerts for the week to come, from in-person shows in our area to live stream events you can enjoy right from home. And Border Radio will keep bringing you the great on-air interviews you've come to expect from KPFT.
Mark your calendar for Border Radio, Saturday nights from 6 to 8 on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM, FM HD1, and kpft.org.
Good evening, Houston. This is your forecast for KPFT. For tonight, expected to be mostly clear with a low around 72. For your Sunday, expect some isolated showers. However, mostly sunny with a high near 88. And for your Sunday night, some scattered showers, partly cloudy with a low around 73. This is your forecast for KPFT. Have a great evening, Houston.